Manny Sakaris joins us again. Matt, how are you?
Jason, I'm very well. And yeah, just as my show signed off today, that Adrian Peterson news came down, which I have to think caps the worst week in the history of the National Football League, no?
Yeah, it's, you know, the Javon Belcher, because a guy lost his life, obviously, I think, is very close. Well, two people, actually, because him and his girlfriend that he killed. So, but, yeah, this one, for how it's played out for so many days, and just when you think maybe something is going, and then this comes out. Although I will say, based on what we've seen, that, you know, this is probably the least of the big issues with Rice and Goodell.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there. It just...
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
It happens to be the best running back of his generation,
yeah,
who, you know, now is in some legal trouble after this. And you know, we remarked earlier in the week that, you know, the NFL right now cannot win a single hour of the news cycle. I mean, day after day, hour after hour, the story and the narrative gets worse for the NFL.
Yeah, it had definitely... hasn't been good, which is why, hey, we can talk a little rookie camp. The Canucks, man, they got six. I know now McCann, he's out with concussion. Is that right? He's not playing in this weekend?
No, it's mono. Yeah.
Mono, okay.
Jared McCann has mono, second of their first round picks this year. So he won't be participating here this weekend. Jake Virtanen, their first round pick, sixth overall this past year, is shoulder surgery, recovering from that. So he won't participate. And actually, they got a third pretty good prospect who also has mono here, Cole Castles, the son of Andrew Castles, the former NHLer who had a really good year last year in the OHL. He's out of this prospects camp as well. So they're down to 12 forwards, Jason, at the camp, which means four lines, and everyone's going to get a real good long look here over the next couple of days.
Wow, they're all young kids. No big deal. They can play three games in 4 days. No problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is, I guess, what, my third or fourth year, however many years this has been going on here in Penticton. And the one thing you know as an absolute guarantee is that these are going to be some sort of messy, scattered hockey games where it's less about, you know, system and things like that and more about individual players doing the look-at-me coach routine. So I suspect a whole lot of, you know, one-on-one play. I suspect a whole lot of, you know, guys skating around, not necessarily knowing where they're going or what they're doing, just trying to make an impression on coach.
You look at Jensen. Let's start there. You know, he's the oldest of the first-round picks. Is this guy going to push for a shot on the NHL roster, Matt?
Yeah, I think so. I don't want to say he's tough to make the lineup because I think with a very good camp, he could easily be one of the guys that they take with them into the season opener. That said, I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for him. He showed pretty well last year in limited time, and he showed particularly well with the Sedin twins, although they went out and got Radim Vrbata to play with the twins. So I'm not sure right wing on the top line is available for young Nick Jensen, but he's a pretty good guy. He's a pretty big guy with a pretty good shot. And so, you know, based on the offensive talent alone, I think he's got a real chance here. Although I wouldn't at all be surprised if they do want to see a little bit more seasoning and a little bit more well-roundedness before making him part of the 12 or 13 forwards they'll carry into the year.
Matt Sakaris from TSN in Vancouver joins us. Matt, the other one, I was looking at the center depth position in Vancouver. Obviously, with Henrik, it's clearly not like Edmonton. But after that, you know what, there's I'd say some question marks at the second and third line as far as, you know, long-term experience. Bo Horvat, does this open up the door for him? Or are the Canucks going to be patient?
Well, yeah, Bo Horvat has a very good chance to make the team, particularly if he shows well. Now, could they fill out four center spots and even a 13th forward who could play the middle without Bo Horvat? Yeah, they can. I mean, Nick Medino, who they got from Anaheim in the Kessler trade, I think has penciled into the number two hole. They played Brad Richardson a lot at center last year, although I do wonder whether he might be better off on the wing. Sean Mathias, who they got from Florida last year in the Roberto Luongo trade, I suspect makes this club as either the third or fourth center. If Richardson is moving over to the wing, there is a huge door open and a huge opportunity for Bo Horvat. And a lot of us seem to think that because Horvat has had such a standout junior career, played in Memorial Cups with the London Knights, now played on Canada's World Junior team, I think you're looking at a situation where Bo Horvat doesn't have a whole lot to gain going back to junior.
Okay.
And I think the Canucks realize that and are really hoping that he earns a spot in the National Hockey League because, of course, he can't go to the AHL. He's too young. So I think it's an NHL or bust sort of camp for Horvat, and I do think if he's close, they may give him the benefit of the doubt, keep him on the roster, spot play him in the early going of the season, see if he can become a regular, and if he can't, maybe loan him out to Canada's World Junior team comes December.
Matt, do you see them playing him as a center, or would they do what Colorado did with MacKinnon and move him to the wing and shelter him a little bit where it's a lot easier to learn the NHL game?
Yeah, they might, but they're thin enough at center, and he's a natural two-way centerman that I think very much the plan and the hope is that he plays center. If he is kept as, say, the 13th forward, or even if they keep a 14th forward and he has to, you know, rotate into the lineup based on injury or performance, I could see some wing action for him. But I think the goal here is to get him up to speed at center because they hope certainly by this time next year that he's a guy who, you know, is in one of those center spots on the roster, be it the second, third, or fourth guy down the middle.
Nick Bonino, where's he playing?
Well, he's playing second line center. And the question with Bonino is more so who's going to be his wingers. Yeah. It looks like Alex Burrows is pretty much done playing right wing with the Twins.
Okay.
Or at least from the get-go here, that's not going to be a spot. They may move him to left wing on the second line. Chris Higgins has played there in the past. I'm not necessarily sure that Higgins is a second-line winger in the National Hockey League these days, perhaps more of a third-line winger. And on the right side, they would really like to see Zach Cassian step up and solidify a spot in the top six because they have had a gaping hole for that sort of big power forward really since the days of Todd Bertuzzi.
Matt Sakaris joins us from TSN in Vancouver. Of course, Order Rookies, Canuck Rookies going at it tonight. Now, Bonino's an interesting one, Matt. I was looking at him. You know, he had a breakout season, but 20 of his 29 points came on the power play in that first unit with Getzlaff and Perry, and obviously he was very well, simulated there. I look at the Canucks. Obviously, the Sedins are on the number one unit, and with the signing of Radim Verbata, I'm guessing he's the right winger who takes Burrow's spot. So is Bonino, would they go with four forwards on the first unit, do you think? Or is he a guy who's going to have to, make his own point totals on the second unit?
Yeah, they have done that in the past. And forgive me, Jason, there's a flock of Canada geese flying overhead. I think you're right. He's more of a second-line power play guy for them. And you're right, he did certainly benefit from playing with Getzlaff and Perry on the power play some last year. The good news, though, is he played almost zero time even strength with Getzlaff and Perry. So the points that he did get 5-on-5 were very much of his own creation or with creation with help of players who aren't Getzlaff and Perry or aren't at that level. Four forwards on the power play, we've seen it in the past. Previous coaches, Alain Vigneault, had experimented with Daniel Sedin on the point, but I don't necessarily think that's the best alignment for the Canucks, and I think their coaching staff probably isn't going to go there unless they think there's some sort of overwhelming advantage to putting Sedin on the point, putting Bonino or somebody else up with Henrik Sedin and Verbata. But again, I would bet against that right now. I think you're looking at a scenario where Bonino is your second-line center, and he's your second unit power play center, and it's clean and tidy, and they don't need to worry about him doing anything other than thinking about those two things.
Matt, I look at the depth chart, Verbata, Burrows, Higgins, Hanson, Zach Cassian, guys probably on their second or third line. What about Lyndon Vay, who they acquired in the summer? This was a guy who was highly touted in LA's organization, but, they're pretty deep, and he's not a big guy. How good of a look do you think he will get in Vancouver, and is this somebody who could maybe add some punch to an offense that was the worst in franchise history last year?
Yeah, I think he's going to get a very, very long look for a couple of reasons. Number one, he played for Willie Desjardins, the new coach here with the Medicine Hat Tigers, and flourished. Number two, the new general manager, Jim Benning, gave up a second-round pick to get him, which was a pretty high cost when you take a look at what second-rounders go for in the National Hockey League these days. And he does have an offensive game which the Canucks sorely lacked last year. He's by no means a lock. I could still see him starting in the American Hockey League. We have been told here that they do think he has enough in his game that if he doesn't fit as a top-six winger, that he might be able to do something for them in a bottom-six capacity where he gets spot played on the power play and, you know, in situations where you're looking for a goal. But he is certainly a guy to watch here, and he is a, you know, sort of a breakthrough potential guy this year because the AHL numbers are good, the WHL numbers are good, the tools are good, and as you mentioned, he's coming from an organization where it's very, very difficult to crack the lineup with all those great young players in L.A.
Matt, looking at the Canucks, they're kind of following the orders. You know, in the draft, is going after a lot of skilled forwards, right? With this rookie camp, what about defensemen? Do you see some D-men at this rookie camp or in the system that are future Canucks in the near future?
Well, one for sure, and that is Frank Corrado, who's already played some with the Vancouver Canucks over the last year and a bit. A fifth-round revelation from a few years ago. His game just moves so forward in the Ontario Hockey League, so poised, so mature beyond his years. And look, he's going to be a Vancouver Canuck at some point this year. He may start in the AHL, but he's easily within their top eight defensemen right now. And by the end of training camp, he could very easily be in their top six defensemen. He would be the most likely to break out in terms of the defensemen and make the lineup. I think you got a pretty good gap between him and the next most ready defenseman, which could very well be on Anton Cederholm, who's a Swedish defenseman who plays actually in the Western Hockey League with the Portland Winterhawks. So he's played with a great organization. He's been a part of a lot of high-level and winning games there in Portland. He's a big kid, 6'2", 205, and plays a very sort of sturdy, heavy defensive game. Look, it's a big stretch to think of him as being a guy who's going to make the NHL team this year, but I think he would be the next defenseman who's here at this camp who sort of the brass with the Canucks are looking at and hoping for and crossing fingers to see if they might be advanced and might be able to make a contribution to the NHL team this year.
One last one for you, Matty, because I know you love talking to the Lions as well. Maybe the only team in the league that could lose their start, well, I guess their second starting quarterback and still be okay in the fact that they've got Kevin Glenn.
Well, yeah, and the trade they made for Kevin Glenn from Ottawa at the draft where they gave up, the fifth or sixth pick in the draft to get Kevin Glenn is looking better now. I mean, they knew they needed to start a quarterback for the first half of the season with Lule coming back off the shoulder injury. But, you know, who would have thought in his first start since that injury that he would have another serious shoulder injury and that his season, if not his career, is jeopardized here. I mean, they host the Grey Cup this year. If you're hosting the Grey Cup and expect to get there, you know, doing so with a veteran quarterback who knows what he's doing is a lot easier than doing it with a young guy or a guy who's new to the Canadian Football League. And look, Glenn was up and down in the first half of the year, but the one thing he's got now is peace of mind. He's the guy. Everybody knows he's the guy. You know, if he throws a pick or two, he's going to get the next series, no questions, and we will see if you know, an opportunity now sort of later in Kevin Glenn's career to be the number one quarterback and lead a good team. We'll see if that brings out the best of them, and it starts tomorrow against Winnipeg.
Matty, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the Young Stars tournament and CFL weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Great stuff, Jason. Thanks for having me on.